You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, Eddie Pascal coming to you on a Monday? Indeed, we have an emergency pod. Emergency pod, emergency pod. Because, I mean, a lot has happened today. We've come back from the bye in a big, big way. We've not eased in to this week, not in the least. James Couser's back, so that's pretty big. I kid. Blessings to Couser. He is back, though, on the practice squad, filling in our 10th practice squad spot, which was previously owned by Mr. Jason Kabinda, who, as you remember, is now on the active roster. But more on our guy Cowstown later. Let's get into it. Silver and Black have traded Amari Cooper, former first-round pick, number 4 overall pick a couple years back, to the Dallas Cowboys for another first-round pick in 2019. So I'm here, producer Travis here, senior esports correspondent Kyle Martin Media is also here, and we're just going to get into it. It's been a wild day. On top of Coop being traded, Couser's return, we've also put the Beast on IR. So a very busy 4 hours here at 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway. So Kyle, off the top, surprised that Coop is now a member of America's team?
I'm happy to see him go to a team that he's going to be put in the spotlight more, because I think Cooper is a stud. But as someone who loves the draft, you know that as much as I'll miss Cooper and what he brought to the table as a dynamic playmaker, 3 first-round picks is going to be something I'm looking forward to for the next several months.
Yeah, I mean, I think Reggie kind of said it the best. Reggie McKenzie talked to local media today, or assembled media, I should say, in the at the team's facility here. Gave some pretty in-depth, pretty accurate, honest kind of breakdown of everything that happened today. And at the end of the day, he said that the first-round pick, getting the pick, the first-rounder for Coop, it was an offer essentially that was too good for him to pass up. And I found it kind of interesting. Kyle, you were obviously there, so I'm curious to see what you had to say about this or thought about it. But when Reg said that teams had been calling about Coop and other guys on the roster from the beginning of the season, and Reggie goes, look, you know, I realize how good Amari is. I realize how talented, how much of a dynamic guy he is. And he goes, I wasn't going to trade him unless I got in return exactly what I wanted. And it sounds like what he wanted was a first-round draft pick, and that is exactly what he got from Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. He said Stephen Jones called him earlier this morning, so Monday morning, and they were able to make it happen, and now Coop is on his way to Texas. But, yeah, I think it's all going to come down to the picks. Right?
Absolutely. I think your point, though, is just what Reggie said to the media today is just a testament to who he is. That's just the kind of guy he is that regardless of who the player is, superstar, backup guy, he's going to do what's in the best interest of the team. Whether they're trying to recruit someone in free agency in the off season, they're not going to overspend. And whether it's about trading a player for draft picks, they're going to do what's going to set the team up for the best possible outcome going forward. And I know that's frustrating when you think you're in win now mode. And he said, we're not tanking. The team's not tanking by any means, but certainly entering this season, there was a lot of hype about this offense, right? But now, with no Cooper, you're going to get 3 first-round picks next season in the 2019 draft. And I think that's going to be just what Reggie was telling. Like you said earlier, his quote is that you can't – that opportunity, that doesn't come by
the word he used was invaluable. And, you know, I think at this juncture, obviously, you know, we talk a lot, obviously, about the draft, about – just football in general, and you look at the best teams, the teams that are consistently playing in the playoffs, the teams that are competing for Super Bowls year in and year out, they're teams that are built through the draft.
Yep.
And first-round picks are coveted for a reason, and the Raiders now have 3 of them headed into April, which I think cannot be overstated. But I think you said that. The other thing, just in hearing Reggie talk, is, you know, he wished Coop well. He said, look, Coop was great. He was a great teammate. You talked to Jalen Richard earlier today,
who essentially
said the same thing too, where, you know, Coop's a great guy and this is part of the business. But at the end of the day, the business part of this is, yes, Coop is gone. yes, a dynamic playmaker is not currently on this 53-man roster, but the first-round pick that we got in return for him, combined with the two other first-round draft picks that we've acquired, I mean, you're talking about a transformative draft, or what could be a transformative draft for this Oakland Raiders team.
You know what's even funnier, too, is that everyone wanted to get on the Raiders this offseason about, oh, they're getting older, they're getting all these veterans.
We're going
guys.
Young, baby.
Oh, my goodness. What a complete turnaround that we're going to make in a matter of 8 months. We're going to have so many young, talented players on this roster that it's going to be hard not to get excited about them. I mean, we've got Maurice Hurst right now. We've got Arden Key. We've got P.J. Hall.
The two
we've
rookie tackles.
Colton Miller, and Brandon Parker. Garyon Conley in the secondary. We have plenty of talented guys.
Worley's a young guy, too. Let's not forget about Worley.
Very true. He's 23, I believe, right?
Yeah, young guy.
Insane to think about, but we have plenty of pieces that Reggie said, not rebuilding, but we want to build on what we already have.
Yeah, I think retooling is probably the term that's come to mind. Because certainly, you know, Coach Gruden has said it, Reggie said it now on multiple occasions, that this team is not tanking. They're not rebuilding. This is a team that obviously, sitting at 1-5, I think it's fair to say, has a lot of areas on the roster that need to be better. Yeah. You don't get to 1-5 on accident.
No.
So Reggie and Coach Gruden are doing what they need to do, what they think is best, to try to set this team up in a position to succeed, not just this year, not just 2019, but if you're really looking and playing the long game and trying to get some sustained success, try saying that three times fast, my goodness. But yeah, and look, I'm not here to say Coop is not a great receiver, or, you know, Coop is not this or Coop is not that. But at the end of the day, Coop has had his ups and downs, and Reggie has essentially said as much earlier today. So let me just read off Coop's yardage this year. One catch, 9 yards, 10 for 116, 2 for 17, 8 for 128, 1 for 10, and then obviously no catches in London when he obviously was forced to leave early. So you see it. You see the 10 for 116. You see that. But it just wasn't there on a consistent basis.
No, I mean, he's a first-round talent, right? He's got all the skills to be that and more. But when he's not doing that on a week-to-week basis and he's not being utilized to maximize his potential, I mean, you got to think first-round pick. That's pretty intriguing. For a guy that's not showing up every single week, sure, he can give you those random bursts where he blows up for, like you said, 168 yards, or last year against the Chiefs, he went for, what, 230?
Yeah, something like that.
Stupid, right?
Yeah.
He can have those kind of games, but he's kind of like Julio Jones in the sense where he's going to streak down the field. If you hit him, that's a huge chunk, right? He can make plays at any given moment, but look at Julio Jones right now. No touchdowns. Still week 8 in the season. That's just not a consistent factor you can go into each game and think, he's going to give me this. He's going to give me X amount.
I think about it this way. You want your first-round picks, wherever they fall in the first round, whether it's a number 1 or number 32, whether it's a quarterback, a defensive lineman, a cornerback, a receiver, anywhere in between, you want those guys to be your pillars. You want those guys to be your dogs.
Yeah.
Week in, week out, from training camp to week 17 and hopefully beyond, you need to know exactly what you're getting from those guys week after week after week. And unfortunately, that consistency just wasn't there from Amari. It just wasn't. And I don't think that's because of a lack of talent at all. I mean, we've certainly discussed it at length, what kind of guy he could be.
Oh, yeah.
The talent that this guy just – we see him in practice, and some of the things that he does in practice, you're rubbing your eyes going, oh, my God, did he really just do that?
He's one of the players that I've watched most frequently in practice, just because he has the ability to – go off and do something special that you don't think is humanly possible. He's just physically gifted beyond my comprehension. I think, like you said, we've talked about it so many times where I wish Coop all the best, and so did Reggie McKenzie. And
certainly,
I'm sure
I think we're all collectively rooting, you know, wishing Coop the best. Obviously, he's going to get a fresh start in Dallas. He's going to do, I'm sure, some very exciting things for that offense down there. But look, at the end of, you know, he has the ability to have those explosive performances, like you said, but I think just in terms of the consistency, as of late, it felt like there were just too many of those one catch for 10 yards, three catches for 35-yard kind of outings. Mm-hmm. And for a guy that you picked number four overall, for a guy that you wanted to make such an important part of your passing offense, you just can't have that. You just can't.
No, and I think now that he's gone, that'll give a little more freedom to Jordy and Martavis. And I'm excited to see. It's not a rebuilding. We keep emphasizing that over and over again, but you said retool. I think that's the best word to describe it. I want to see who's going to step up now that Coop's gone. Now that we've made some moves, now that there's a little more leeway for them to get free in the offense, I want to see who steps up, because I want to see going forward how we continue to retool this team and who's a part of that in the long term.
A guy that I'm really excited to see starting Sunday, but really through the rest of the year, is a friend of the podcast, Martavis Bryant. I'm excited to see what this move now does for the alien, if this kind of frees him up a little bit, if he might, you know, if he maybe has, Derek maybe looks his way a little bit more, because we've gotten teased with Martavis a little bit, you know what I mean? I mean, he has shown, whether it be in practice or we've seen it, you know, in a limited kind of sense in games, that like, oh, okay, this guy is some freakish, rare, you know, otherworldly speed and ability. I wonder now if we'll get to see a little bit more of that without number 89 out there on the field.
I sure hope so, and I don't want to ever compare Martavis to Amari by any means.
No, they're different receivers. They're very different receivers.
Very different. Amari's a great receiver. I think he's going to be a stud going forward. He's going to have a great career wherever he, whatever team he plays for in X amount of years, right? But they're similar in the sense that they both have an ability to break open a game.
Yeah,
right?
Game breakers,
can, yeah,
for sure.
They can get behind a secondary. We've seen it earlier this year with Martavis. Sure, he wasn't able to haul that pass in from Derek, unfortunately. But Coop did the same things, right? So if we can get, a.k.a. the White Tiger, Martavis Bryant, the alien, deep in the secondary, I think he can have a lot of the similar contributions that Coop had.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think you kind of hit it right in the nose. Different receivers, different skill sets, but very similar in their abilities to kind of be the focal point, maybe, of a of an aerial attack, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, stretch the field.
Yeah. Look, man, I'm excited. I understand certainly kind of the initial guttural reaction to seeing Coop gone. Let's not forget, Coop did a lot of good things while he was here. He was his first two seasons, went back-to-back 1,000 yards, Pro Bowl guy. So I understand that. I really do. But I really think 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years ago, or 2 years from now, I should say, when we kind of look back on this, I really think that the silver and black will be interesting to see how this came off. Because, I mean, like, I know we keep coming back to it. I know we're kind of going back and back and back to it. But having those picks is such a luxury.
Yeah.
Such a luxury. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see how these picks turn out. Obviously, the draft is going to be really, really busy for us now. But it's good busy, right? But let us not forget, we still got a lot of football to play.
Yeah.
So while the draft is certainly, I think, going to be a little more intriguing than it has in years past, we still got a lot of ball to play. So speaking of the things that happened today that affect us immediately going forward, Marshawn Lynch to IR2. So, in the span of about 90 minutes, traded Coop, put the Beast on IR. I think we both kind of agree that we're going to get a lot of Doug Martin on Sunday against the Colts. Mm-hmm. Who else are you looking to kind of step up? I mean, you're not going to be able to replicate Marshawn.
No,
you're not.
Well said, because Jalen Richard, one of the things he said in the locker room today was, you can't replace Marshawn Lynch. Like, no matter who you are, you can't bring in someone in free agency in the locker. Like, no one's going to play the same way that Marshawn Lynch does. There's no other way to describe his style of play other than the way that he does it. But I think Jalen Richard is going to be one of the guys that's going to step in a little bit more. You know, obviously, Doug Martin's going to see an increase in carries, but I think Jalen Richard will as well. We've seen in years past how all it takes is one touch for him to go 75 yards to the house. He's got that shifty ability, and like we discussed on the podcast last week, he's looking for contact now. He's a different kind of player on top of the stuff. He's better at things that he's done in the past, right? And he's obviously one of our top receivers, so Derek targets him quite a bit. He's going to still be a factor in the passing game. I think he's going to be one of the guys that I've got my eye on going forward, and we said he's our MVP so far this year.
Yeah. Certainly, like you said, a different player than he was when he got here as a rookie, as most players tend to be. But, yeah, I think you're going to need a lot from the Rocket. We're going to see what we got in Doug Martin. Gruden was – let's not forget that just a couple months ago, Coach Gruden was very, very excited about what Doug Martin brought to the table. And really the only reason that Doug hasn't gotten a lot of run in the first half of the season is because of how well Marshawn was playing. So I think it's important that we kind of get that off the top, that Doug wasn't getting run. It wasn't anything that he did.
No.
This is not because he was ineffective or was unable to do X, Y, and Z. It was simply because Marshawn was so effective at doing what he did. So like you said, like Jalen said, you're not going to be able to replicate Marshawn. You can't. I mean, the man is literally, and I know it's an old cliche, is literally one of a kind. There is not another Marshawn Lynch in personality, running style, however you want to categorize it, walking around out there. So it's going to take a couple guys to kind of step up. Maybe we see D-Wash for the first time this year, DeAndre Washington. I mean, we look back to him last year and ran the ball effectively, very similar to Jalen, can also help you out of the backfield catching the ball. But, yeah, it is a... It's gonna be exciting on Sunday. I think it will. I mean, obviously, you look at this Colts team coming off a big win last weekend. The Raiders in desperate need of a win, and need a win to kind of right the ship, get back to kind of the area that they want to be, get back to building and building and building. Got to take care of business at home. So Sunday's game was already one. I think that was very, very intriguing. And with everything that's happened in the past 6 hours, I think it's gonna be that and then some.
It leaves you almost speechless to think about just what we've gone through today, and just to think about we still got a game to play on Sunday.
I'm
excited to see in the aftermath of today what happens going forward in the second half of the season. I think there's going to be a lot of players that, like Jalen, like DeAndre, like some of the younger players, Colton Miller, Brandon Parker, it's going to be about seeing their growth, right, as well as how Derek Carr handles the loss of Amari Cooper. I want to see whether he targets Jordy more, whether he targets Martavis Bryant more. There's a lot of factors that are going to be – the offense is changing.
Sure, right? 100%. I think kind of in that sense too, I think we should keep an eye on the guys who are probably coming up too.
Mm-hmm.
Without Coop and without Marshawn, 51 guys on the active roster right now. So keep an eye on the bottom of that roster, see who's maybe coming up. Maybe a practice squad elevation. I don't know. We'll see how the next couple of days kind of shake out. But it's gonna be something. I mean, this morning when you and I walked into 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway, we were unsure about Marshawn. We didn't know if he was gonna be able to go this Sunday. We were probably thinking no because of what Coach Gruden said the other day. Probably thinking no on Marshawn, but we certainly did not see Amari Cooper being traded. So, like you said, just those two moves. Just taking out Coop and Marshawn drastically changed just kind of the look of this offense, the look, the feel, and everything. So I'm excited to see how it plays out on Sunday. But that's it. It's the emergency pod. We got in, we got out. We'll be back per usual on Thursday unless something crazy happens between now and then, which who knows, possible, I guess. But we'll be back. We'll have you in victory formation as you always are our main guest there, our main contributor. But that's it. So go to Raiders.com. Check out everything that we've done today. It's been a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. If you're interested, we have the full transcript of Reggie's 20-minute sit down up there on the website. So if you guys really want to see verbatim what he had to say, Kyle and I did our best to kind of summarize it. But obviously, it was 20 minutes that Reg talked. A lot to get to there. Jalen's reaction. There was a lot going on today. So go to Raiders.com. Check us out. On social, you guys know where to find us. For Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, and Kyle, we are out of here, and we'll see you in what, Trav? 48 hours? Yeah, he's nodding yes. So, we'll catch you guys later on our normally scheduled time for Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.